We're going to go now to 92.9, the game's Brave insider, Grant McCauley. And, Grant, there was nothing cool going on up in New York yesterday. Before we get to that, though, we were doing a wake-up call a minute ago, Grant. We were talking about favorite Falcons personalities. Who's your favorite Braves personality? Who's the guy that you love going to talk to in that locker room?
Goodness, that's a good question. There are some of these guys that, for me, I've been talking to them since they were drafted, since they were in the minor leagues, and it's fun to have watched the way that they have grown. So I would say right off the top, I always enjoy catching up with Austin Riley. He's just been a guy that I've watched, you know, grow and become one of the cornerstones of this club. So I'd probably go with him, though I always like catching up with A.J. Minter as well. Those are a couple of guys that I just feel like, you know, they shoot you straight. They keep it real. They're, you know, as we can talk about, they've been through the ups, they've been through the downs, and I think it's just nice to kind of see their careers blossom and grow, and hopefully there are some good days ahead. But last night would not go on the list of good days.
And speaking of keeping it real, Grant, this time last week, coming back from the All-Star break, I remember asking you, what can Braves fans be positive about going into this second half? Oh. And it feels like it's been nothing but negative, really, since, outside of especially pitching. What can Braves fans be positive about at this point? Is there anything that you can kind of point to?
I don't know that the answer to that question is anything other than yesterday is yesterday, and you know, you have a new opportunity today to maybe try to do something different. But the Braves have tried to do a lot of things different, I feel like, over the past two, almost 3 months, really going on 3 months of not playing the brand of baseball that they expect to play or that people tuning in out there expect to see from this club. So, you know, I really don't know that there's an answer, because when you start to stack up the, you know, the performance is one thing. Obviously, the offense has been a huge problem. We're not going to solve it on this call. The injuries have not made things any better. But as you pointed out, Kelly, I mean, this is a team that has been one of the best pitching clubs in baseball. That's the only thing that has kept them afloat, and it's kept them from sinking like a stone, not only in the National League East standings, but in the wild card. They have 2 months ahead of them, but man, whatever is going on in the, you know, the war room, if you will, of trying to figure out what, if anything, can be done to help this club at the trade deadline, I can't even imagine what those conversations are like right now, because while I don't think that there's, you know, mass hysteria and panic, I don't know that there are any really clear answers at the moment right now. Even though they're in a playoff spot and a position where the season to end today, it feels like anything but that.
Well, Grant, one of the things that I've always loved about Brian Snitker is he's so even keel. He will never really throw his players under the bus. He'll never, you know, do this outrageous, you know, kick dirt on the home plate and maybe throw a water jug out there, even though that's probably what I would do. But last night, his response to whatever the hell that sacrifice bunt, debacle, suicide squeeze, whatever all that was, is that as off the script and maybe out of personality and out of brand for Brian Snitker as you'll see?
Yeah, I mean, that list is not very long. I mean, he's like anybody else, though. I mean, at some point you reach a level where it's like, you know, I don't know what you want me to tell you other than, you know, the truth, which was that was not something that he had planned. And that doesn't mean that, you know, he's lost the clubhouse, nobody's listening. I mean, again, it's the frustrations clearly have mounted. And you have a bunch of guys that I feel like for a while in different incarnations, and maybe last night being the worst example of this, are just overthinking it, trying to do too much, putting a lot of pressure on themselves. And, you know, last night, I don't know how you explain it other than the words that Brian Snitker used. It's unacceptable. I mean, you ran yourself out of the opportunity to get what should be a gift run that you can produce in the extra inning scenario. And the Braves, they did not even get the third man of the inning up there, and the third man was Austin Riley. So I don't know how you figure that out, or how you can't figure out a way to get some of your best bats up there with that guy up there. And ultimately, Laureano fell on the sword. Jared Kelnick fell on the sword. Brian Snitker, essentially after the game, I mean, you heard it, said, you'll have to ask them. I don't know what they were doing, but ultimately, you don't hear a lot of that. And I know it drives people nuts that Brian Snitker doesn't get fired up and run out and get tossed out of every game every time a call doesn't go the right way. But, you know, it's a different time and a different baseball than it was maybe back in the 90s when Bobby Cox was famous for doing that. Now you pretty much just get automatically ejected and pay a fine. So I'm not sure that there's a lot that's going to fire up the club about the manager paying a bunch of fines, but that is what it is. And, you know, I don't think other than the optics of you'd like to see the life, I don't know that it's going to change the results. But, you know, again, who knows what's going to change the results at this point, because this Braves club has felt like offensively a rudderless ship for a long time.
our very own Braves reporter, insider, and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley. Well, Grant, to that point, it just feels like they're pressing. Feels like they just keep pressing more and more. How do you relax as a player when it's this bad, or is the only thing that, you know, kind of forces your hand to stop the pressing and kind of relax as a player and just do what it is you do the best? Is it just winning? Is that the only thing?
I mean, results are the thing. I mean, you want to do everything you can, obviously, to help the club win. And when you're used to having a certain amount of results and they don't show up, it's natural, no matter what it is. If it's our job, if it's, you know, anybody listening out there, whatever they do, if they're not getting the results that they're accustomed to getting, they're probably going to spend some time figuring out, okay, I've got to reverse this. I've got to make up for what didn't happen in this situation, in that situation, the last month, the last 2 months, whatever it is. I do feel like there's some of that being carried up there. But ultimately, you know, while everybody's human, you have to find a way to separate the moment from, you know, the present moment from what they have dealt with. And that is much easier said than done. And I don't have, again, I wish I did, you know, the answer, the strategy, whatever it is, that would be an easy fix for this club. But, you know, this game is hard. It's not easy. And they're going through it. Nobody knows it more than they know it, obviously. And they're just going to have to figure out a way to get through and get on to the other side, because, and I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it, this club is too talented to have played the way that it has. The injuries have certainly been a problem, but they haven't been the only problem. There are certain guys that are simply not having the seasons they need to have in order for this club to reach the kind of success that they set out to reach at the very start of the season.
Well, Grant, you mentioned it earlier. The only reason this team is afloat is because of the pitching staff. And yes. I just have to wonder, a guy like Chris Sale, and even Pierce Johnson later in the game, look, we saw Chris Sale in Chicago in that one-off White Sox game throw a gem. Throws another gem last night. Obviously, he's going to be upset with himself about the walk and the home run. But other than that, I mean, just he's lights out, and he's been so good. I just wonder what his attitude is like right now, and is there a level of frustration with the pitching staff when they look at how bad this offense has been?
No, I don't think he can. I mean, I have talked to different pitchers at different times, and, you know, earlier this year, you know, I was talking to AJ Minter, and he said, look, I mean, you know, the pitching staff takes it as a point of pride to go out there and try to keep this club in the game so that when the offense does get a chance to do what it can, that they have a chance to win the game, and vice versa. There are times where, you know, the pitching staff's going through it, and you've kind of got to slug your way out of it, and the Braves have done that in the past. It has not felt like that in 2024, but typically there are times in the season where one side or the other is kind of helping out, maybe carrying the freight a little bit more than the other one is. But I don't feel like it's individual frustrations over anything other than individual performance. It's not, man, these guys can't hit, I don't want to be here. Like, that's not the kind of attitude or thoughts I feel like that are going on. You know, because it is a long season, and everybody understands, you know, you there are things you can control and things you can't control. And if you're a pitcher, you cannot control how many runs are scored for you. You do have some control over how many runs are scored against you. Unfortunately for Chris Sale, you know, another great start. He made one mistake to a hitter who has worn him out in the course of his career as well. Francisco Lindor is batting well over 400 against him, which is wild because I didn't know anybody out there was hitting over 400 against Chris Sale, but that's just the case. I mean, the Mets did not take an at bat in that game with a runner in scoring position until that extra inning in the 10th. And ultimately, that single, that game-winning single that I heard being talked about in the Sports Flash, I don't know how that's a single. That's a flat error. It doesn't change the outcome of the game, but I don't know who's scoring that a single. That is just an absolute misplay, and that was just the icing or the cherry on top of one of the most forgettable games that the Braves have played this year.
Well, and of course, the Mets catching up to the Braves kind of here in the division, and since April 29th, the Braves themselves are 35-40. Grant, do you feel like there's a chance that if things go even more south over the next couple games or days, that the strategy at the trade deadline might change or the calculus might change?
In terms of how much they might look to bring on, yes. In terms of, are they going to, you know, tear down the tents and sell off the pieces and, you know, put up a sign that says coming in 2025? No, I don't think they're going to get to that point. But if you're going to make any kind of move, like, you know, obviously with the deadline being what it is, you know, now is the time. And if you're going to send any kind of message to that team that, hey, we're going to get some reinforcements, we're going to try to circle the wagons and really make a run of this, which Alex Anthopoulos has been on record as saying, you know, like, we're not in a selling mode. You know, we're going to try to add, famously, 2021 will always come up, and for good reason. I understand that that's the best possible outcome. But he's facing a tall task this year because it's not just, hey, you lost your superstar player, some things haven't gone right. Can you figure out a way to supplement the club? It just feels like a lot of things on the injury front have really compounded for the Braves, but the performance standpoint, first and foremost, from some players that are still active and still in there every day, has not even come close to approaching what it needs to. So to answer your question, I don't know that the next couple of days really makes or breaks it, but it's certainly starting to feel like it if the Mets are able to pass the Braves, not only in the division, but also in the wild card race, which is realistically, I think, where the Braves' best playoff chance is, and that's not any kind of breaking news here, then, yeah, I mean, it's going to make the decision tougher. And again, as I said earlier, I don't know what the discussions are right now about what they can do. We're seeing a couple of players start to move, come off the board. That Randy Arozarena idea that I had, yeah, that one got shipped to Seattle. So they're going to have to come up with something else that might help them out.
Hey, Grant, where can we catch you next?
Now, you can find me on From the Diamond this Sunday from 5 to 7. Obviously, we'll have a lot to talk about with what's going on with the Braves and, of course, the rest of Major League Baseball. You can also get From the Diamond wherever you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app.
Oh, that's 92.9 The Game, Braves in. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.